Well, the Christmas holiday period is a really, really tough period for a lot of people for a lot of reasons. I know that there are a lot of men listening to this podcast right now who are feeling absolutely wretched because for whatever reason, but there is a reason, they can't see their family, their children. Maybe for legal reasons, maybe because they're incarcerated in prison. Or maybe it's just a matter of distance and affordability of getting to your family at Christmas and New Year. But it is a really, really tough time for a lot of people because there's a lot of emotion attached to Christmas. And I guess commercially we hype that too because we're wanting people to spend and all the Christmas movies come on television. The carols are playing everywhere. It's all about getting together with your family and blah, 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 blah. Bringing back memories of a happier childhood perhaps. And a childhood that maybe has slipped away at this point in your life. Now, I thought we'd talk to the Reverend Jim Reynolds about this because I know he feels really strongly about it. He's actually in the studio with me right now. Happy Christmas, Happy New Year.
Happy Christmas and Happy New Year to you too.
But there are plenty of people listening to us now, and it's not a Happy Christmas and a Happy New Year.
Absolutely, and it's probably one of the sadder parts of my job. Unfortunately, we do have a nickname for this season. We call it suicide season because a lot of people get very, very lonely and they're just really, really despondent. That's the word I was looking for because of what's going on. Sometimes it's forced, sometimes it's not. And we do our best to try and help people through that.
So there are men listening to us now who maybe through court battles, and accusations, can't see their children. There are plenty of people who will ring me and tell me, and you've heard them, who say, I've had terrible things said about me, and it's not true, but I'm not allowed to see my children. Or the children have been taken away and they can't afford to travel that distance to see their children. What do you say to people who are listening to us now on this podcast who are incarcerated in prison for Christmas Day?
Do you know, I've often wondered when it gets up to Christmas Eve and I'm, wandering around the city and, the Melbourne Meyer window and stuff like that. I often wonder because not too far up from there in Melbourne, for those who know Melbourne, we've got the Melbourne Assessment Prison. So it's a bit of a sobering.
What's that?
The Melbourne Assessment Prison is the first prison that most prisoners in Victoria go to.
Right.
And it's right in the city. Mm-hmm. Funnily enough, it's next to our major transit centre as well. But you do see it when you go through the city, and it is a bit of a sobering reminder that there are a lot of people who are there who won't be able to see their friends and family for Christmas. And it is quite a sobering thought. As you've just said, there can be some people in there who are there through no fault of their own, through false accusations, and they're waiting for their court date to prove themselves innocent. And it's hard because it is so isolating. You're generally in a cell with yourself and possibly one other person. I guess it depends on the prison, and I'm sure that, we've had plenty of callers who've, described certain circumstances where there might be three prisoners or they might be there by themselves. But even if you're there with just one other person, it's a very, very lonely existence because you don't want to be there. You want to be with your family. And one thing I've always promoted in my family, and it's one thing that we do, because we don't do the traditional buying of presents or anything like that. We value presence over presence. And, it just reminds me just how soul-destroying that could be, being in a prison.
Incidentally, Lifeline is there, 13 11 14, if you need to ring someone right now. Beyond Blue, 1-300-224-636. Are You Okay? Wounded Heroes, there are many agencies there. But look, Lifeline's there now. And it's 24/7 and it's free.
Yep.
So if you need to talk to somebody, please ring Lifeline now. 13, 11, 14. How do prisoners feel, because you'd know this better than me, when they are visited by family in prison? Little children going into a prison and seeing dad, sometimes through glass or in a visiting area. Dad's in a green or an orange tracksuit. How do you cope with explaining to little children why they're there and what they're doing there?
I'd say that's a really hard question. I've spoken to a lot of people who have been in prison, and one thing they have told me is that they will stop any kind of behaviour if they know that their family is visiting, because that's the, out of everything they can lose in the prison, from their buy up to anything, a visit from their wife and their children is the most important thing. As far as explaining it.
So having a visit from wife or partner and children is a great way of controlling behaviour in jail.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. They're not going to miss out on that for anything. And, you know, I have heard stories where, you know, other prisoners who might not have access to their children, might not have access to their partner, will try and stir some trouble up so other people miss out as well. So there is a certain amount of leverage with that. These are the stories that I've been told. But I would say that it'd be up to the partner to explain to the children what's actually going on. Why is daddy inside?
Tough conversation.
Oh, absolutely, because, you know, once the child is there in that sort of environment, you want to try and make it as happy as possible. You want the children to be excited about seeing dad. So it would seem that it'd be a bit of a strange idea to start having that conversation in that kind of setting, especially when that child has gone through all the checks that they would normally be put through whichever state corrections we're talking about. They still have to be checked to see if, you know, they're hiding drugs or whatever, because some people will do that. They will hide drugs in a nappy to get it into the prison. So it's already a stressful situation for the child. So to have dad explain it, I think, is not the appropriate time. That would probably be a partner issue.
I tell you a story. This is a 100% true story. Years ago, I was invited as media to go through Lithgow Jail, which is a pretty tough jail. Some of the toughest prisoners are either in Lithgow or Goulburn, as you would know. And the governor of the jail at the time was a bloke called John O'Shea, and he invited me through and having a look around. I met two Indigenous prisoners who were in their very early 20s. One was 19, one was 21, and had a talk to them about their incarceration. And one did become fully rehabilitated and has now got a job and living outside the jail. The other fellow's gone back in a couple of times. It's very, very sad. But the real eye-opener, Reverend Jim, was one of the prison guards, when they showed me through, they said, I want you to watch this video and see if you see anything unusual. And I watched a bloke sitting there in his greens. He's at the round plastic table, and his partner and a little baby come in, and he leans over, gives her a kiss, gives the baby a kiss. They sit down, they start talking. He said, anything unusual there? I said, no. They replayed it. No. Well, what happened was, when he kissed his missus, she passed a vial from her mouth into his. It was split second. It looked like a peck. It was split second. So they noticed it, quick smart. They put him into she faced charges. She had to go to Bathurst Court. She was then banned from ever visiting the jail, I think, for 2 years. And that included the little one. He was put in a cell without a toilet so that they could eventually find it. And the really sad thing, Jim, is that he wasn't a drug user. Some of the other prisoners knew he was getting a visit. He was not a user at all, but they used him. They threatened him and his missus that if they didn't bring this contraband into the jail, he was going to get a tap on the head with a hammer.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why he did it. It wasn't for him. That's frightening, isn't it?
Yeah, I think the saying that springs to my mind at the moment, idle hands are the devil's plaything.
They've got nothing left to do but think.
Exactly. And, you know, quite often I'll listen to media commentators who will, you know, go along the line of, you know, why do they have TVs? Why do they have radios? Why do they have access to this? I think it's because of that reason. You know, idle hands are definitely the devil's plaything. And if you're sitting there in a cell with nothing to do, you're thinking about going against the system. How am I going to get what I want? And, you know, we've already taken away somebody's liberty. And the fact that, you know, these people now, they can't talk to their family when they want to. They can't see their children when they want to. Mm. In a lot of cases, they can't even use the bathroom when they want to.
Mm-hmm.
We're taking away all that freedom but they still have those times where they can create
havoc.
Merry hell. Exactly.
Yeah. Well, as we said at the beginning, it's the Christmas New Year period now. For everybody listening that for some reason can't see your family, what's your message?
Just stay strong. Things can change. A year is a very long time, and there are people who can help you. The trick is to reach out. Things can get better. They always get better. You just have to reach out and let somebody help you and walk along that journey with you.
Lifeline 13 11 14. It's free and it's there 24/7. Reverend Jim, I feel bad saying this, but I'll say a happy Christmas and happy New Year. Good to see your face.
Good to see you too, mate, and Merry Christmas.
The head of the Outreach Ministries Australia, the Reverend Jim Reynolds.